Is there easel?
We have an easel.
We have an easel.
Oh, you do have one?
We just don't wanna like set it up.
I would.
Okay.
Go ahead. You put it right in the front of the thing.
I put it on the left side of it. So, how many seats are there? So, they have letters.
Wow!
Do I need to do these to the caution or do I need to read them? Yes, that's fine. Okay, so, we said, just read it. Do you want this chair? Which chair do you usually use? This is the one you hate, right?
Oh.
It's first come, first served. This is gonna be like, I'm okay. Thank you.
I'm still on the edge.
Situation. I'm a little crippled in the house. I'm really sorry, I gotta do that for you anymore. There's something else wrong with that. I have to go to MRI, I was just discussing on Friday. Oh, boy. You're not claustrophobic, are you?
Well, it's too bad for me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've not been in that kind of situation, so. Each family is going to be assigned a project manager. And so the project manager goes and meets with them. Case manager goes and meets with them.
Yeah.
And kind of helps them through the process of incorporating themselves back into society by either giving them guidance,
getting
job training, skills, which a lot of the services, but they kind of just provide them resources to go to these locations and kind of go and check with them. Also financial, like helping them establish accounts and financial services. Also like rehab, some of them that need PTSD. Kind of just keep on them in order for them to be able to continue to stay
Good. I mean, it'll be a good project. There's just some, technical stuff to get together.
Yeah. So they did put a lot more information. I'm not gonna say it's a little letter of correction. But I'll do that. But that's what it seems to. It's more of, instead of the vet going and trying to find all the services, it's like you can assign somebody and they tell you, this
that
is
the way better.
Yeah, you know, these are the services that are out there. This is where you can go. This is what you need to do. And they kind of, it's more like they're babysitting them, like trying to incorporate them back into
it. That's way better than it used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, I do remember when my brother first got out of the military. If it wasn't, I think, for our personality,
yeah,
my brother and I have to.
Well, mellow.
And he's mellow too.
Yeah, that helps.
So that helps a lot. But I remember, like, when we go out to didn't hear anything, and there was, like, loud noises or anything, you could just see him. Like, and we're like, all right, we gotta go. Or he would, like, jump. Or he would wake up one time. He'd wake up in the middle of the night, and he went to see my aunt. And he woke up, and he's just like, come on, man, let's go.
He was ready.
And my cousins were like, do we move? Do we not move? He's going to kill us.
Yeah,
right,
you're like, dude,
I'm not the enemy.
Yeah. No, that's scary. Yeah.
So, my brother, he left in Mexico today, and I told you to have someone. My friend's like, no, I can just have the taxi guy take me to the bus, and the bus can take me to the town. I'm like, But, you know, it's like, you know, no, because it's not safe. And my brother's like, I've traveled to countries where they don't speak my language, and somehow I've gotten somewhere. Back to base, or back to where I need to go.
I'll be fine. I'll figure it out.
I was like, and those are places that I didn't speak the language. Somehow. He definitely enjoyed his military time. He was like, once he was done, he was like, I'm done.
What's going on?
That's why he's a lot more calmer than I am. Well, he's almost like calmer. He doesn't take things too seriously. He's like, listen. I'm like,
if your thoughts, Travis, come on.
Just try. Try. Give it a try. Well, I have two items, so.
Oh, the cup.
Yeah.
I think the money.
I don't think
so.
Not. Don't say that, because every time you guys say that, I'm just staying out of this. I still got it down.
But I don't know which one you're talking about. I know. That's number 7.
No, that's
fine. This is number 7. Yeah, it'll be. It's future for things. Number 8, and I don't know. We have a quorum now.
Chair Heasley?
Present.
Commissioner Durr?
Here.
Commissioner Meachin? Commissioner Lopez? Commissioner Ebley?
Here.
Commissioner Gallagher?
Here.
Commissioner Earp?
Here.
Commissioner Jones? Commissioner Quill? Commissioner Machen and Commissioner Jones are absent. Commissioner Lopez and Commissioner Quill are excused. We have quorum.
Thank you. The Planning Commission will hear a report from staff, then the public hearing will be open. Applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located at the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the tape record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. Would you administer the oath, please?
Please stand and raise your right hand to those who are speaking. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda? The consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. Commissioner, our director.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. There are six items on the consent calendar for tonight. Item number one are the minutes from April 19, 2017, and staff is recommending approval of the minutes. The second item on the consent calendar is an extension of time. It's a one-year extension of time for an existing tentative tract map, 18895, which is a subdivision of a three-acre parcel into 12 single-family lots. And staff is recommending approval of the extension of time. Item number three is a surface mining and reclamation review, and this is a request actually to take an item off of the list of mines, and staff is recommending approval of that. The address for that project is 1955 West 9th Street. Item number four is also a surface mining and land reclamation review, also at 1955 West 9th Street. Staff is recommending that that property be taken off the list of mines. Item number five is also a surface mining and land reclamation review. This property is located on the east side of Waterman, approximately a quarter mile north of Vanderbilt Way. Staff is recommending that this item be taken off of the list of mines. And item number six is a conditional use permit and public necessity and convenience for a project located at the southwest corner of Tippecanoe and East Briar Drive. And this item, staff is recommending, be removed from tonight's agenda and re-noticed for the June 13th public hearing. And that concludes my recommendation, or the staff recommendation, excuse me.
Thank you. Any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Certainly. Commissioner Earp?
Yeah, just for my knowledge, can you tell me what it means to remove mine from the list?
I'll give a brief overview and then maybe have the staff planner, Elizabeth, talk about this. These are, we recently went through a review under the State Mining Act. Cities are required to report the mines and are the mines complying. And during that review, it was discovered that there were three properties that were identified as mines incorrectly. And that's why we're recommending that they be removed. And the state has come down. I know that Elizabeth has met with them a couple of times. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, so they're we're giving mine IDs, so they're considered active mines. So when the state came down and we went to the three sites, it was determined that these sites should have not been given a mine ID, so we want to move forward in having those exempted.
So these are not mines that were active then abandoned or?
At some point, one of the mine, they did do some mining activity, but currently right now there is no mining activity on the sites. Two of the sites, which is the Vern Anthony site and the Lighter Creek site, those are flood control channels. And 4th Street Rock Crushers, which abuts Lytle Creek, they used to go in and remove gravel and dirt to do the processing, but they no longer do that. Everything's imported for that Robertson's.
And they fully met all the reclamation requirements?
They did, okay. Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any member of the public wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Being none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that the Planning Commission approve the consent agenda as stated.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. On the public hearing items, all actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code or final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. You challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues or someone else raised at public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Item number 7.
Thanks. Good evening. Item number 7 is Conditional Use Permit 1701. It is a proposed social service resource center on a site containing about 0.46 acres. It is going to be managed and operated and maintained by God's Helping Hand, which is a nonprofit charitable organization. It will be managed by paid and volunteer staff. They are going to offer non-traditional youth activities similar to that of the YMCA, including before and after school programs, job training, employment counseling, community cleanup, and mentoring. This is an aerial location map of the site. It's north of 8th Street, and it fronts on Sierra Way. This is the existing zoning of the site. It is residential medium. There is some residential high medium across Sierra Way, and there's also some public facilities zoning across Sierra Way to the east. So the site is located at an existing fire-damaged one-story building. It's about 6,735 square feet. And the building is going to be restored and divided into office, multi-purpose rooms, and a retail secondhand store. About 2,700 square feet will be devoted to office for staff operations. About 1,885 square feet will be multi-purpose rooms for student learning and mentoring activities. And the hours of operation, the general hours of operation for these activities will be 8 to 8, 7 days a week. The retail secondhand store will encompass about 1,856 square feet, and it will be the site for on-the-job training for kids, up to 4 kids at a time, between the ages of 12 and 18, and they will be supervised by 2 adults at all times. The other purpose for the secondhand store is to generate revenue to support the resource center operation. The proposed hours for the retail component is 9 to 5, 7 days a week. We have conditions of approval to restrict deliveries to 2 days per week during normal business hours and no deliveries on weekends. In addition, there won't be any outdoor storage of any kind permitted. There'll be no food preparation on site. They anticipate having donated prepackaged foods for staff and the participants, and it will be for their consumption only. The site is planned to be secured. There's going to be a perimeter wall on the south property line, and there'll be a wrought iron fencing on the east and west property lines, and then there will be a rolling sliding parking lot gate to secure the parking lot during non-business hours. They are proposing security cameras and two full-time security guards to patrol the site to ensure that it is safe for participants at all times. The proposal is going to upgrade the parking lot and the landscaping, the trash enclosure, and the building exterior and interior. And we have added a condition of approval to monitor the use every 6 months for 2 years to ensure that it is in compliance with the conditions. This is a site plan. It shows the existing location of the building and the proposed parking lot layout, landscaping layout, location of the block walls, and the wrought iron fencing around the perimeter. This is the floor plan, and it shows how the building is going to be divided. The west end of the building is going to be the office space. The middle of the building is proposed to be the multi-purpose rooms, and then the front of the building is where the proposed secondhand store is going to be sited. Just a quick picture of the perimeter fencing that's anticipated. There's a decorative block wall on the south property line, and then, as I said earlier, wrought iron fencing on the east and west. Building elevations, because the building exists, the building's going to be rehabilitated. It was just went through a fire, and it was significantly damaged. So they were going to rehabilitate the exterior with new stucco, new paint, and then a cornice on the elevations that are visible from Sierra Way to dress up the building a little bit. These photos are site photos of the existing building as it looks today. It's been cleaned up quite a bit by the applicant. As I said, it suffered a fire, and so you can still see the scorching on the side of the building, and it's boarded up so that there's no more transient issues. here's another picture of the building from a different perspective, looking northwest from the parking lot. This is a photo of the interior of the building. You can see there's no roof. The roof was a loss during the fire, so that will be replaced during the rehabilitation. Aerial photo, just to give you perspective of the site in relation to the church. It's affiliated with a church located on Mountain View. They're going to be sharing security guard services between the two properties. So our recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 217-028, adopting the categorical exemption and approving CUP 1701 based on the findings of fact and subject to conditions of approval. And that concludes my presentation. I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. I have a couple questions. A little definition of what is your concept of what full-time means on the security guards, and sharing the security between two locations that are not immediately walkable between the two unless you go out in public streets. I have concerns over the security because of past problems in that area.
Yeah, I'll let them elaborate on the security because they have a live-in security facility, I believe, on the adjacent church. But the security is planned for 24/7, 7 days a week. Is that correct? Yes.
That answers my questions. Any other questions for staff?
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Eggman?
How long of a timeline is there? Do they anticipate completing construction and rehabilitation? And will they occupy the building before that, any part of it?
Are they going to
wait till everything's done to open it?
Yes, they're going to have a certificate of occupancy. Everything will have to be completed before they occupy. And as it stands, I believe they want to complete by the end of this year, if possible. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Geller?
I have a question. sorry, worthwhile goals set forth in your proposal and understand the desire to help the youth in our area. My concern is we do have an abundance of nonprofits in our area working at the for the same endeavors, and I wonder whether some of the services that you will be providing are a duplicate of especially the school in the vicinity, which does provide before and after school tutoring, computer access to the youth. Those are some of the things you identified in there for the purpose of your program. And I noticed since there you said you had partnership with schools and clergy and other organizations in our area, and so I'm hoping that maybe we would be able to find out what those other partners are that are working with them.
Okay, I will. The applicant's present, and they can explain their partnerships if you want to. Okay.
If you would please state your name and address. Spell your name for the tape record. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Jonathan Shardlow, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Shardlow, S-H-A-R-D-L-O-W. I'm with the law firm of Gresham Savage. I represent the owner of the facility, and I've been working in consultation with the applicant on this project. Randall Rodriguez from the applicant's team is here. He'll talk a little bit more about the partnerships, but this wouldn't be a duplication. The partnerships with the schools and the other nonprofits in the area, they work together. So, for instance, there's San Bernardino Strong with the football team. They're working together. They've been partnering with Red Cross. When they have food drives, you know, all the nonprofits partner together. There recently was a community cleanup in the area, and God's Helping Hand was part of that with other partnerships. So there was a school giveaway with school supplies and backpacks with Norton Elementary, which is less than a block away. So those are the types of partnerships, and some of the other speakers will speak a little bit more on those. But there wouldn't be, you know, any type of duplication of service. This is, and I think you'll hear from other speakers that this is a badly needed service for this area. And with the drying up of nonprofit grants and funds, we think there's going to be a lot less funds available for this type of service that's being offered.
Okay, I have one question about that. Will this facility, being under the auspices of this church, will it be a facility that will be taken off of the property tax rolls as being part of the church?
I think I know the answer to that. So there's the church that is affiliated with the property, but the property is being ran by God's Helping Hand, which runs a lot of youth services programs and just general community service programs throughout Southern California. They are a registered 501c3 organization. They've been a nonprofit for 25 years. So my guess and what I know of the law is that they would pay no taxes as a nonprofit. That it's taken off the rolls, it's an abandoned site, and if I could just explain a little bit more about, you know, the history of the site and why this is a win-win for the community and the city. First, I'd like to thank Planner Mary Blaze and Mr. Mojica for their time in this project. It's been a over a year project that we've been, you know, submitting and different plans, different technical studies in order to get where we are today. This site has been a problem for code enforcement. It's been a problem for homeless encampments. It's been a problem for several fires, one being the arson fire. Where it's at and how it's zoned, it's very difficult for the site to ever be used for any other purpose than actually what's being proposed today.
The only reason I brought the question is because the owner is Omni Financial LLC, which that doesn't strike me as being a nonprofit.
So Omni Financial LLC is the owner of the property. They have worked with God's Helping Hand to arrange for a process where once the conditional use permit, if it is approved today, the site then transfers, escrow closes, it then goes into God's Helping Hand, and Omni Financial LLC is gone forever. They're going to be the former owner of the property. That will be their only designation.
That was my dilemma, seeing that there was a private company owning the property. And okay, that answers my question.
So yeah, Omni's in escrow, contingent upon the issuance of a CUP to run the facility. It would go into God's Helping Hands.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant? None. Thank you very much. I have several speaker slips. And in no particular order, I'm going to call them out. Tim Ordin. Ording.
Be close.
I'm bad with the names.
Ording.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I am Tim Ordening. My address is 234 Fernwood Drive in Crestline. However, I work for San Bernardino City Unified School District. I've worked for the school district for 23 years at Lincoln Elementary School on 13th Street. So it's kind of in the neighborhood of this facility you're talking about. I also serve, I'm a counselor, and I also serve on the district's crisis response team, so I get in other neighborhoods when there's a tragedy. So I'm aware of some of the issues and problems in our neighborhoods. I've also been affiliated with especially Mr. Taylor and San Bernardino Strong, the football program, several hundred kids involved in that, and they're involved in this project. And I just want to speak on behalf of the project. I heard the comment about dual services, and I know that Mr. Taylor works very closely with, and has actually a relationship with principals and the schools that are in the neighborhood, and supports the existing programs like the CAPS after school program and things like that, so that we're trying to fill some gaps. And one of the things that I find is unique and intriguing about this is with this thrift store as part of the project, I think it's a very unique opportunity to have a program that's self-sustaining without public monies or grants as they become harder and harder to come by. And I think we could see something very special here over the long haul. We're also talking about working with parents and a variety of other things. I don't feel that we can have too much outreach into the community, especially working with kids. The after-school programs typically end at 5 o'clock. The center is planning on being opening longer than that. So I really see that it has a bright future and will impact a lot of kids, and not just the immediate neighborhood, but there's four schools within walking distance of this center, Lincoln being one of them, Bradley, Riley, and of course Norton across the street. So I just hope you consider strongly moving forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Dion Taylor. Welcome, Mr. Taylor.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Dion, D-I-O-N, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. First, I want to thank you guys for considering what we're doing here. This is going to be something awesome for the community, and I appreciate your concern. I brought a few of our kids here today. They're kind of upset. They want to get to practice. They had practice at 6, so they want to get with the other kids. But what we are truly doing here is unique. I got a chance to explain to them today what you do. And that's not explained at some of the local nonprofits and different organizations that are serving and helping our kids. They got the chance to meet the mayor that was going out today, took a nice picture with them. Now they know who their mayor of the city is. These are some of the things here. I went to San Bernardino Adult School, where I got my GED. Later went to San Bernardino Valley College, where I received my AA in Business Administration, before moving on to Redlands University, where I received my Master's of Management. So I understand what it takes to change a community, and also come from a mom with seven kids, single mom, welfare, the average things, the same things that a lot of our youth that are going through within our community. One of our goals is to reach our youth. Many tactics right now are aimed toward the homeless population and different things. Like, well, I deal with a lot of homeless people, and they have children. They have children, and those children are out there from motel to motel. So we actually serving more than just creating a place for them to come and kind of play games and things like that. This is a place for them to come and change their life. We want to give them an opportunity and goals to be more than just what they see. So that is our goal. You know, I partner with several organizations here. You know, I've stood before you before, but our main goal with the football program, just I was explaining, I had a meeting with the sheriff yesterday. What we do is this: it's strategic. Everything we do is strategic. It's not just going out there playing football. As Mr. Denning explained, we have several children within a radius. We have gangs. That's the target gangs. All of these kids that come participate in this program, so over 100, close to 200, sometime over 200 children, are in these different locations. Well, they get a chance to meet each other, partner with each other, become friends. So later on down the line, I'm not going to kill my friend over there. Hey, I know that guy over there. We're creating a community. That's one thing we're lacking. So our main goal is San Bernardino was once a thriving, people came from all over to see what the McDonald brothers was doing here, to see what the different, we want to teach our kids to be entrepreneurs, not just workers. We are partnering, this right here is partnering with the school district on their efforts to create a career pathways. This is one of those efforts. My goal, I spoke with the mayor, we need to create entrepreneurship ideas for these young kids. I partner with several local businesses within the community as well to teach these kids that they can own. If we don't own anything, we don't have anything. To teach them to own their community, to teach them to be business owners, not just workers at a warehouse. So not saying that that's anything bad or anything, but that's the average, that's what they see. So we want to give a different idea and let give opportunities. This is what this is an opportunity for our youth to grow and to thrive within the community, within the city of San Bernardino. I love San Bernardino. I believe in San Bernardino, and I believe in all of these kids right here. I do. And that's why they're here with me. They wanted to come. They wanted to speak, but they didn't know what to say, so they kind of got cold feet. But I need them to see what you do. They need to see a different experience. This is something they've been living here their whole life. They don't understand how this works. Well, this right here is an opportunity. Several other organizations don't bring their kids into things like this. They come and represent themselves. Well, I like to let our kids be involved and see what's going on, the decision-making that's going to turn their life. So thank you guys so much. God bless you.
I have a question.
Question?
Stay.
Sorry, please forgive me.
Commissioner Geller.
How many kids do you expect to be able to accommodate at the facility?
Well, at the site is going to be that's just a center. We also have use of facilities at several different school sites that we obtained, which Norton is one of them. We utilize San Bernardino High School as well, Arrowview Middle School, Indian Springs High School as well. So it's not that all of these kids are in one site. We don't want to overcrowd. Okay.
Is this more your operating center to do the things you're doing in the community?
No, this is just a small piece of what we're going to be doing within the community. This is selective to the kids that we're going to help, but also these skills can be taken not just within that site. These skills can be taken out of that site. Okay, within these same skills can be learned on the football field, taken to the field. We realized when these kids go to that site, they go back and they talk. They talk to their friends. They have an influence. They have a voice. You know,
do you have any responsibility for the thrift store portion of it? Or are you just, your responsibility is working with the children?
Most, I have a master's in management. I'm educated in business. So those are some of the things that I will be teaching. And I also teach our kids now. Right now, these are some of the kids that I teach. They understand the difference between a diploma, associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, and a master's. And if you ask one of them right now, which one makes more money, and what they see, because I put them in the aspect of being a business owner. Who would you hire? Who would you hire to be your manager? Who would you hire to be an employee? What type of education would they need?
Well, the work you're doing sounds absolutely wonderful. I think the concern and questions that I had was the thrift store. How, who would be running that and how they deal with drop-offs. We've seen a lot of thrift stores throughout our city.
Yes.
And they become a drop-off for people's garbage even when you're not there. And so...
yes, but that's what we actually partnered with just... I don't know, is it okay? Okay, we actually partnered with several organizations that actually donate. We deal with donations. Okay, so this wouldn't be a public drop-off. I know... Several, I won't name any names, but I know some of the thrift stores you talk about because I've actually dropped stuff off. Okay, and they're no longer along baseline. They are no longer there. This is not going to be consistent with that at all. This is going to be a whole different avenue that we're taking, approach, and I say approach, toward actually them learning business, learning what's going on there, getting educated, and how to deal with monies. How to stock a clerk, you know, different things like that, tools that they could use to further themselves. You know, I started working at Taco Bell when I was 16 years old. A lot of our youth right now don't have the opportunity. Also, the community cleanup that he mentioned. We clean our community. That's what we teach. It's used. We partner with Lake Gregory Community Church up there with their pastor. We have those kids come down, and they love it. Every year, we do it once a year. And we go along all along Sierra Way, and it's just fine. It's secure. So those are some of the things that we're actually doing to benefit, and we want to make them proud to be from San Bernardino.
And I think to answer, let me answer part of your question.
Yes.
Be assured that, Commissioner Gallagher, that with the compliance monitoring that will go on, if it becomes a problem that is not maintained with drop-offs and it becomes... basically a dumping ground for...
Yes, I totally, yes.
Then there could be a situation where the CUP is removed.
Yes, yes. Well, one thing we want to do is maintain and beautify our city.
That's
and
correct.
I explain to these children right here, they understand that it's not the community is bad, it's the people. If you throw trash, then that's what's going to happen. When you throw trash down, I'm sorry.
Are you with God's Helping Hands, or were you with San Bernardino Strong?
Well, San Bernardino
Who
Strong.
Are you with?
San Bernardino Strong is just a sports program that we.
But who are you representing?
I am a member. I am a member of the church. Okay, with God's Helping Hand, I am under that. But though these are several different things that we do that we've already been doing within the community prior to them even coming aboard and doing this. This is another partnership.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Commissioner.
I was just curious about your football program. Is it? A youth football program?
Yes, it is.
What do you
do? San Bernardino Strong Youth Football and Cheer.
Oh, okay, so it's like a Pop Warner sort of thing? Or just
yes, it is. We with the AAU, the Amateur Athletic Union.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thank
you
so much.
Any other questions for Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
And we're going to go with Deontay Calloway. I'm going to ask that because of the volume of slips, if you have something that's different to add, go with that. And if you add that in, if you're just showing support, then just do that. But I don't want to shut anybody down that's got something to add to either Mr. Taylor or, and I lost his name. So welcome. Go ahead and give your name and spell your last for the tape record.
Okay, so my name is Deontay Calloway. I'm a resident. Deontay, D-I-O-N-T-E.
Calloway. Pull the mic up a little bit and speak to it, please. Thank you.
All right. My name is Deontay Calloway. I'm a resident of San Bernardino, California. I've been here since September of 2016. I live very, very close to the site that they're requesting to be built here. I've also worked with the youth very close to this site. I've noticed that... there's a lack of people wanting to help our youth, you know. I say us is because even though it's been a little less than a year, I consider myself a big part of San Bernardino. As far as what Ms. Henry was saying, this is not a replica of any other kind of like outreach programs like the Boys and Girls Club, stuff like that. Men like Deion Taylor and Mike Pio especially, I've been working with for years, and I believe that they are more hands-on. They're more active and vigilant when it comes to our youth. They're not just like, okay, this is a let me clock in and clock out kind of thing. These are men that you could call at 1, 2, 3 a.m., you know, not just in the afternoon, you know. These are men that are, this isn't like the answer to the negativity that's out there, but the answer lies within these men, you know what I mean? The answer, like, they're putting the work in that others won't. And that's basically what has me here tonight. 26 years old, I could have went down a different path in life. But it's men like this that have basically shaped me and molded me. If they would have had this program, I guarantee you I would have a lot more brothers here with me now, you know. But they didn't have the space to do it. They didn't have, you know, so they can only keep your eye on just Deontay, you know. So now we have the space. We have, you know, the team to do it. So it could just be more than just Deontay here, you know. I see 20 years down the line, these young men, these young women here doing the same thing, trying to build more programs like this, you know, and being also active. Not just clocking in and clocking out. You know, people that are actually, okay, this young brother's at the liquor store doing something. Let me actually be there for him, you know? So I'm completely in favor of what these men are doing. And, that's basically why. You know, it's because they're active and vigilant and actually doing it. So thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, Mr. I'm lousy with names.
I have a comment.
Commissioner Geller?
Just for clarification, there isn't a question, at least in my mind, of the good work or the intent of what you do. It's more a matter of determining whether this is the right space or place for a thrift store and the adjacent. But the goal of the work that you're doing is spectacular and wonderful, and I'm sure very impactful. The perspective that I was looking at was more the area, the intent, the thrift store, and how that will work with the surrounding.
So this Jonathan Chardlow, once again, if I could just really quickly say, there's two speakers from God's Helping Hand that will talk a little bit more about the operations, but I just wanted to address some of the specifics questions that you had asked about, you know, how many kids are going to be at the facility. We anticipate anywhere between 50 and 60 would be the maximum amount. Obviously, it's controlled by the occupancy count. The fire department controls that as well. So there would never be 75, 80 people at the site. One of the questions was how donations at the thrift store will work. There's no public donations. There's a donation center for God's Helping Hand that's in Paris. That is a spot where there is donations. A lot of the donations come from corporate partners such as Vons, El Super, Costco. Some of the items are new that come in truckloads at a time. And then there's a condition that only two deliveries can be made 7 days, and then there's hours and limits on that. So the only type of inventory stocking is not from public donations at the facility, but they're just brought in a truck one time, unloaded, and that's the only type of delivery of goods that happens to the retail portion of the site. Another great question, well, how do you keep people from preventing donating at a site? When the facility is operated, obviously there'll be the security guards, they'll be trained staffed, there's the condition of approval that there's no dumping. And then when it's closed, the site will be wrought iron security gate fence in the front and then block walls all throughout. So it's not a goodwill type of normal spot where people just pull in the back and dump old couches and old mattresses. And if that does occur, I can assure you that the applicant is going to, you know, clean that up right away. I mean, they're involved in several beautification projects in the city. They're trying to get the trash out. This isn't a type of facility where they want to have any type of refuse being loaded or stored on their site. So I'll let others speak to that a little bit more as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying those questions.
Thanks.
Michael Peel.
So Michael Pio, M-I-C-H-A-E-L. Last name is Pio, P-I-O. Address is 13958 Old 215 Frontage Road, Moreno Valley, California. I am the site pastor next door there. I came there 2 years ago, and I too had the same question you had about the services that were being provided already to the neighborhood. I came to the conclusion that that area is so densely populated with children and with youth that it was a perfect site for what we had been doing in Moreno Valley. We've had the site there for over 50 years. It was built in 1951. Things have changed dramatically, as you know, in that neighborhood. We, by being next door and being the site pastor and being a board member on God's Helping Hand team, it was a perfect fit for what we'd already been doing in Moreno Valley. We had over 2,500 children come through in just a matter of years in our youth program, which is called Metro Kids. We approached Mrs. Benoit at Norton Elementary School, which we were immediately invited after writing a letter, sending it off to the Unified School District, and telling them what we did. They invited us to come and, with our truck, one day a week, pull onto the parking lot of the school, set the side of our stage down, and we did a one-hour program for the CAP students, which were 150. I soon learned the vacuum, the need that was in that area, so we approached Mrs. Benoit about bringing backpacks. So we took 200 backpacks, and we had a backpack giveaway in which they had nobody else doing that, which I found to be very fulfilling that we're coming and not doing something that's being duplicated. We, at Christmas time, we had hundreds and hundreds of gifts given to us. We partner with Toys for Tots and a few other groups like that. So we're going to do the same thing every year. We had so many kids show up at our site, that on the church site, that this just now is an extension for us to be able to take the plighted neighborhood that I'm sure that some of you have driven by there, and the crime, the homelessness, it's something you're already aware of. The only way that I can control that to a degree, we're just one small part of a piece of what needs to be done as a partner in the city. And with our site there, as large as it is, if you look at the site, you can see how large our campus is and how large our parking lot is. We used to, at one time before I got there, the previous pastor, we owned all the houses down Sierra and up 9th Street. Well, I'm trying to do the same thing again, because if I can control that property, if I can keep that property secure, if we can take and we can have these programs for the kids in that community, it is going to take care of, as we saw in Moreno Valley, a lot of the crime and a lot of the things that are going on. So I appreciate you taking a look at this project. We are not asking for anything. We're wanting to take our 25 years of experience. We have sites. We have campuses in Homeland. We have campuses in Menifee. We are on the move. We're building. And one of the main focuses that we have is the kids in these communities. So I think there's plenty of room for us here. And I hope that you take a look at this tonight and you consider that we're not the answer, but we're just part of the many people that are going to have to partner to be able to take this city and to be able to heal it and bring it back together again. So I thank you for your time tonight and having us here to listen to us.
Thank you very much. I have Randall Rodriguez. Welcome, Mr. Rodriguez.
Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L-L, Rodriguez, R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z. I reside at 28658 Wellington Court, Menifee, California. And I am the administrative director of GHH Ministries, which is known as God's Helping Hand. Been with God's Helping Hand for over 20 years. We've been self-sustainable, self-sufficient, and self-funding due to the fact that we have thrift stores and we operate like a business, but we reach out to the community as well. We've partnered with organizations like American Red Cross. Whenever they have a burned-out family, they'll contact us in the area. We'll donate clothes, furniture, appliances, whatever is in need. to get them back on their feet and get them a start, you know, due to what's going on in their community and what areas. We've also partnered in projects and upgrading with Lowe's, other organizations, other churches. We've operated over several thrift stores. We have a fleet of trucks that do all our donation pickups. We have a warehouse in Paris, 22,000 square feet, where our fleet of trucks drop off donations that we receive from companies like Costco Furniture. We do receive a lot of new items, and we've been really blessed with this organization. And we've been able to partner with a lot of organizations and churches as well in the area. And one of our biggest mottos is, you know, we're here helping to serve your community. And we've done that so well. I'm proud of a lot of our staff and our partners that have come alongside. And it's just been an honor to be out there serving these different communities at once and being able to help out in areas and be able to provide furniture that's brand new, appliances. We also have Toy Team USA, where we provide toys for just families in the area, and we're talking brand new toys. They provided everything from little iPads and things like that to families in need who all they have to do is come out and sign up for it. They end up doing their own wrapping, and we have a team of staff of volunteers. Usually a lot of the volunteers are families in areas who've been helped by our organization or the founding churches or those communities in the area. So what we do is, they're absolutely right. They get involved, they help, they receive help, and then they learn how to help. And we've seen this in our organization many times. Our staff is made up of a lot of these volunteers that have grown with us over the years. I've seen a lot of growth in 20 years. And being that we do operate more or less like that, we do have postings where there's no drop-offs, and we do have legal postings up there, and we take very serious to any kind of damage, graffiti, that it'll be removed right away, cleaned up right away. We want our stores looking good. We want them to look inviting to the community.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Really, thank you guys, because it's an honor here. And to hear this, to hear them speak, you know, and be that, and it just makes you think, wow, we're on the right track in all the areas and the other communities that we are involved in. And it helps me, and it's always an honor to come out here. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one a speaker slip from a Gil Mendoza, but I don't know what item they want to speak on.
That would be item number 9. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments about this item?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
We would like to make a modification to condition number 8, which currently reads, hours of operation for the retail store shall be restricted to between the hours of 9 a.m. and to 5 p.m. up to 7 days a week. And then we want to add further, the retail store shall only operate as long as the social services are also provided on the property. Retail as a standalone use is prohibited.
Mr. Shedlow.
The owner and applicant would be more than willing to accept that condition. That's not a problem whatsoever. And just really briefly, I just wanted to talk and put into the record two letters of support, one from Dion Filer. He's with the Public Affairs Division, community liaison of the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. He wrote a letter today dated May 17, 2017, talking mostly about Dion Taylor's activity with the youth in the community and that he supports his partnerships with law enforcement and getting the youth involved. I think just a few weeks ago, they had the probation department out with some of the kids and brought their drug-sniffing dog and kind of showed them how that worked. And I think that was great. There's also another letter I'd like to put in the record, which is dated May 15th, 2017, which is on behalf of Pastors United, which is a list of almost 20 pastors in San Bernardino. Giving support for this project and the location and the renovation project. and obviously the Youth Community Center and Social Services Center. So just wanted to give those, I'll give them to the clerk or I'll give them to Mary. And of course, if you have any other questions, I'm happy to address those as well.
Okay, you're welcome to submit the letters. We haven't had a chance to take them into consideration. We'll go on what you said at this time. But you can definitely submit the letters into the staff.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, suggestions?
Excuse me, Chair. I would like to just have the record reflect that Commissioner Machen and Jones joined the meeting at 6:15.
Thank you. I have a comment that I wish to make to the youth that are here today. You're looking at a group of citizens of the city of San Bernardino. We do this work to benefit our city. We do it without pay or financial consideration whatsoever. And there are more of us that some of them are not here tonight. And what we do is we spend time to ensure that our city is improving constantly. And hopefully that you young men and women will do the same thing in your area and in the future for your city, wherever you live. At this time, I'll entertain a motion on this item.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2017-028, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 17-01 based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommendations of conditions of approval.
As amended.
As amended.
I have a motion and I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, unanimous. Positive support the whole way. Item number 8, we'll give it a minute to allow the youth to clear. Mr. Taylor, could I ask you to take your conversation outside so we can continue? Thank you. Ms. Powers.
Item number 8 is conditional use permit 17-07. Oh, sorry. Forgot we had this. The request is for a financial vehicle lender recovery service facility containing a new building containing 2,400 square feet on a parcel containing approximately 0.9 acres. The project is located on the west side of Amos Avenue, approximately 150 feet north of Dumas Street within the industrial light aisle zone. If you take a look at our location map, you can see the green below is the Waterman golf course. So it's right in that area, kind of the south of Waterman, roughly across the street from the IRC building. And there's a better aerial view. This is the basic site plan. So you can see the building is set back a good distance from the road. It's a smallish building, and the majority of the site will be open storage of vehicles. There will be 6-foot block wall around the property, so you won't just have open vehicles, you know, for the whole neighborhood to look at. There's the site plan. There is a proposal for sleeping quarters. That's mostly for drivers who may be, you know, in the middle of a route, you know, in the middle of the night, come in and sleep for a bit before their shift. And then the elevations will be a metal building. They've outfitted it with some awnings that will be colored separately from the building to add a little bit of play there. And that'll, again, be set back pretty far from the street and behind a block wall. There's some a view of the site looking south, then looking west directly onto the site, and looking north from the southern corner. The planning staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-034, adopting the categorical exemption pursuant to section 15332 for infill development projects and approving conditional use permit 17-07 based on the findings of fact and subject to the conditions of approval.
Any questions for Ms. Power? Commissioner,
is this essentially a repossession?
That's correct. Yes.
I guess I had concerns about the neighbors immediately adjacent to ours. Would be
24 hours a day. Yes, there should be at least one or two employees on site 24 hours a day.
So there'd be a certain amount of noise generated.
Minimal in the nighttime hours, but yes, potentially.
Okay, right outside a bedroom window, unhook his cars in the night. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Anything else for anybody? The repo man needs a place to have headquarters.
Right.
I wonder if they'd contacted the residential area immediately to the south, I believe this. Some residences that look like residences.
There are some existing residents. There is directly to the south. I don't know if you've had contact with the residents there.
Are you the applicant, sir? If you're the applicant, go ahead and give your name and spell your last.
Okay. My name is Bill Stanislaw. I'm with KPM Enterprises. My spelling for my last name, Estanislau.
Thank you.
Regarding the neighbors to the south, at the front of the property, there are two small houses. One has been in a remodel or cleanup phase, and we have met two of the neighbors on the other side. Their houses sit to the forwards, to the southerly side of their property. Their properties are approximately, I would guess, 95 to 100 feet from the street. They sit on the front edge of Dumas Street. As far as the sound levels, actual transfer of these vehicles, maybe 6 or 7 at most in the evenings. That's it. It's a very quiet operation. And one of the things I question, maybe it's just an oversight, but I believe you had me put in 8-foot block walls. I think that was...
Oh, that could be. Yes.
You may have said six, but yeah. I think we're going to put in 8.
Yes.
I think that's mandatory by the fact. But as far as the process, we've already... It's my understanding that those residential properties are intended to someday convert to the industrial side anyway. I think that that's a transitional process
right,
there. But
right.
At this point, that's all I can tell you about the residential.
Okay. Well, my concern, obviously, is an operation that yours can have components where there are loud noises.
Well, I'm...
Vehicle retrieval.
Right. I'm not in that business, per se. I'm a consultant for that service. But at visiting their facilities, there's usually only one person who brings the vehicle in, and he just lowers it off the back of a pickup truck with those handles that fit the front wheels, parks it, and he leaves. There's actually a staging area inside. Nobody works on it. Nobody cleans. Nobody does anything to them until the day hours of 8 to 5.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner?
Is KPM Enterprises, is that their... Do they have more than one facility?
Actually, they retain my services. My company does consulting services in this nature all the time. But the owners, yes, they do have facilities. They have current facilities in El Monte and in San Diego, and he's been in the business for 25 years.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Gallagher?
A question for staff.
Yes.
I noticed on the aerial.
There it goes.
I noticed on the aerial that there are other industrial type things on that street on the anyway with looks like trucking stuff, so I would assume there'd be noise, maybe not evening noise that would occur here. But my question would be, neighbors were notified, correct?
Well, yes, of course.
By letter.
Part of
right.
The public
I thought somebody
process, yes.
Mentioned that no, they hadn't, but they were yeah. notified.
And,
that
and
they
we
hadn't
received no.
Okay.
You know, in support or opposition,
right.
No letters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Earp.
Yeah, is there any condition that would, for the site lighting, that it would be contained to the site and not?
That is a standard condition, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. No other questions, comments? Director?
Before the commission votes on this, I would like to suggest a modification to condition number one. Staff's understanding is that this is only for the recovery of vehicles, essentially for people who are behind on car payments. And we just like to clarify that the approval is limited to the operation of a financial vehicle lender recovery facility only. And then at the end of condition one, the property shall not be used as a general tow yard. I think there's different impacts with bringing in cars that are basically a new condition versus cars that have been involved in car accidents. So I would suggest that condition one be modified.
That's acceptable. Raise another question. How long are the vehicles going to be stored there after they're recovered? If you would, please.
Mandatory rules, I understand, are that the car has to sit for 15 days to allow the person to try to resolve their issues over their payments, and then they can recover the car at that point. The cars are... He works primarily for Honda of America, B of A, and one other major bank. And if after that 15-day cycle they do not recover their car, then the cars are subject to being picked up and sold at auction.
Okay. So I find the director's addition to the condition be acceptable to mm-hmm. me. So if somebody makes a motion... we'll include that condition if it's acceptable to the person making the motion. Commissioner Eggby?
I'll make a motion. You ready?
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Okay. I'll make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution Number 2017-034, adopting the categorical exemption and approving Conditional Use Permit 1707 based on the findings of fact with added conditions.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Moving along. Item number 9. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes. Can you
Mr. Mendoza, were you wanted to speak on this item? Which item were you wanted to speak on?
Number 9. It will be this item.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 9 is development permit type P 16-07 and variance 16-04. The project is a proposed mixed-use building comprised of a coffee shop containing approximately 1,276 square feet. 1,276 square feet, and the residential unit will be 1,448 square feet on a parcel containing approximately 6,750 square feet. The project is located roughly at 1360 North East Street within the Commercial General CG1 zone and Transit District overlay. The variance we're asking for is because the project is located within the Transit District overlay, in this particular section of the overlay, there is a build-to line that is required with a minimum of 0 feet to a maximum of 15 feet. That means the building would have to be built within that build-to line. In this case, because the site is so small, the width of the lot is only 50 feet. So trying to bring the building all the way to the front and gain access onto the site for emergency and refuse, as well as customers, just wouldn't really work very well. The building itself would be extremely narrow and very long in order to meet the square footage that they're after, and we may still not be able to meet parking requirements and other requirements that way. So the variance we were asking for is to set the building back at the back of the property, and that way we were able to meet other requirements for parking and emergency access as well as refuse control. So you can see the basic design of the site. The building is at the back. The floor plan shows that there will be the coffee shop, a garage for the manager's unit, which is upstairs on the second floor. This is our elevations. You can see that we've got some CMU with stucco, Spanish style tile roofs, and our preliminary landscape plan. One of the things that we did to gain some additional landscaping, because again, the site is constrained due to the limited size, we asked that rather than having block wall along the north and south property lines, that they put in wrought iron and have vining plants growing up through the wrought iron. And that way we gain some additional landscaping, some more color to the site. So you can see currently, this is the corner of Virginia and E Street. The property is just to the south of the white building, and this is looking from the west view, and then again looking north at the site. Staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-035, adopting the categorical exemption pursuant to section 15332 for infill development projects, approving development permit type P 16-07 and variance 16-04 based on the findings of fact and subject to the conditions of approval.
Commissioner Geller.
I could see that the property was narrow at only 50 feet wide. It would be very difficult to develop that and meet all the requirements. My question, I have a couple actually. How many other parcels would be falling in that same category along there? And I know you may not know the answer to that, but where we would always then be making a variance would be coming before the committee, and what would be the purpose of the transit overlay district if we're constantly making variances and for several different things?
There is the potential for additional in that stretch, possibly two to three others. But I do understand the concern there. Again, to a certain degree, it does depend on what the use is and whether additional properties are picked up. So it's hard to say at this point how many other parcels would actually need variances for this sort of thing.
It also said that not only the 85 build back 85, but it said, I thought, if I read correctly, instead of what the code says, 5 feet on the sides, it was going to be zero. Is that correct?
No.
Did I misread?
No, I don't believe so. In the commercial general zone, there is a zero setback, zero side setback. So they can build to the parcel lines within the CG1 zone.
Okay. I thought it said on the slide there, five is
no,
what is recommended.
They've given five, but the code requirement is actually zero.
Zero?
Yes. Yeah.
So if I may, Commissioner Gallagher, just to kind of follow up on what Chantal said, this is kind of a unique property, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Staff grappled with this application also when it came in. As I think the commission is aware, we are in the process of doing a development code update, and part of that development code update will be looking at all of the TOD standards. Because you are correct, there could be other variances, and that's obviously not the intent of a variance. So a variance probably isn't the perfect way to process this application. It seemed to be, in staff's opinion, the best way to proceed with the project, knowing that we are doing a development code update and looking at all of the TOD standards. I don't know if that helps you or other commissioners, but clearly you're right. There are other properties that also would be difficult to develop under the TOD standards as they're currently written.
It's, if I can just add to that, we're trying to build in some additional flexibility for some of those standards within the transit overlay to get that area built up.
And I can see how that property would be difficult to develop and meet all the requirements, but do we really want the properties developed so that the trash receptacles are what faces E Street, what faces the main corridor there that we hope to develop sometime? I think those are, I realize we're grateful for improvements in any vacant property or any torn down property, but if we have a goal that at some point we need to make decisions based upon where we hope to go. Thank you.
Well, on that note, Commissioner Keller, would it be desirable to have a better facade put towards E Street to make the property, even with the setback of the structure to the back of the lot, to have the infill development done, but with a better appearance to the street? Would that be?
Right now, my understanding is what is on the street and which you're hoping to kind of camouflage with greenery. But as we can see, most of the properties, greenery is not growing for a variety of reasons in the city. So using that to camouflage what will be the trash receptacle pickup, which is what, am I reading that correctly in the plans?
You yes. are correct, yes.
Okay, that will be what fronts E Street. That and a parking lot, our entrance to a parking lot. And the question is that where we want to go? Especially if you're saying that there is a potential in that same area that many of the properties, because they're 50 feet wide, are going to have that same development problem. Grateful for people coming forward and developers wanting to help in the city. My question is, where do we want to go? Where do we want to see ourselves? And when are we going to have the courage to make decisions to get there?
Commissioner Durr.
Yeah, I had kind of the same feeling. It's kind of an odd duck to go. Where does it fit in what we division for that area? I know it's a little farther north than downtown. I know the neighborhood could use anything. It looks like it could end up being a compound. That's what it kind of looks like if they just put a gate across the driveway. Now you have, a compound on E Street. I don't know if that's the transit overlay. Was that for the express bus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I remember seeing those pictures. I don't remember seeing this in those pictures and the artist renditions of what it was intended to look like. I think I'm same as Commissioner Gallagher. I appreciate people wanting to develop and improve. But at the same time, we have to look farther ahead and make sure it's going to fit in what our vision is, right?
Well, we could certainly, if the commission isn't willing to or maybe wants more information, this item could certainly be continued. We could work with the applicant. Staff's only heard from two commissioners, but we could certainly continue this item to a future date and see if there are modifications that we can look at to improve the project. This was certainly not an easy project, like I said previously, for staff to evaluate, but we can certainly, now that we've got some comments, go back and see if there are other alternatives or other options.
Well, the options, Commissioner, go ahead.
Maybe you could explain a little bit what, I'm not that familiar with the transit overlay district, but what is the idea of pushing everything to the front of the lot, right? I mean, that seems to be what's in question here.
The goal of the transit overlay district is to encourage pedestrian traffic as opposed to vehicle traffic. And as you're walking through a downtown or you're walking through an area, you want to actually be able to look into storefronts. You've got that visual appeal. Generally, you want the facades to alternate every 25 or 50 feet so that as you're walking along, you're not looking at a monolithic elevation to a building. Certainly, as Commissioner Gallagher and Durr have noted, this doesn't fit within the broader goals of the TOD overlay, and we fully acknowledge that. So we'd be willing to, or I think we could sit down with the applicant and look at other alternatives, again, based upon what a majority of the commission would want to do.
I just one quick thing. Did they put that trash dumpster area? Was the in and out access of the truck that would pick it up? Was that
yes,
a consideration? I thought I heard you mention.
Yes,
it would be easier for them to get in. And,
yes, because there's no way to build
area.
In a turnaround for the trash trucks, and they will not back out of a site.
Right.
I think with the trash receptacle having to be where it is, and I can't, you know, that's why I asked, is there a way to camouflage it or make it the appearance nicer? And I can't think of anything that can make a trash receptacle look anything else other than a trash.
It's already within the CMU enclosure. We could ask for an element on the top. To kind of screen in the top a little bit. I don't know if you've seen, some cities will have like kind of the wood framing over the top of their enclosures. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen the type of enclosures you're talking about over in Rancho Cucamonga and a couple other cities. Right now, I can't be in favor of this operation is being proposed, this development as is proposed, because I really have a problem with us having a development code and granting variances all the time. Yes, I want to see development in our city. I want to have empty lots filled. But I want to have the lots filled with something that meets. That's why we've got a transit overlay district. We put this together over a lot of work over many years to have this transit overlay district. So one of the first things to come in, and we're going to put a variance on it so it doesn't fit the requirements of the transit overlay district. I think that's ill-advised. So I can't support this project as it is. I would think it should be brought back with modifications to meet the goals of the rest of the bulk of the planning commissioners. At this time, I can't support it as its current status. Any other comments?
I'm just wondering if, you know, this combination of circumstances, does it just make this property undevelopable?
Yes. Frankly, yes. I just want to say that I have worked on this project with the applicant for close to a year now to get it as close to possible to our standards.
Commissioner Keller?
The property that's just south of that, does that fall into the same category as only 50 wide?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
So we will have a continual problem on several properties along there.
Unless they were able to pick up another property.
Mm-hmm.
Not to suggest that developers should do this, but the thought process I have is you buy two adjacent properties. It gives you a sufficiently large enough parcel to meet the transit overlay district and build a much more desirable facility, both for business purposes and to meet the demands of the transit overlay district. I will entertain a motion to continue this to the next meeting to give staff and the applicant a chance to make adjustments, or possibly longer if that's recommended.
Yeah, I might suggest just continuing to a future date. As Chantal has noted, she's been working on this for a year, so I don't think we're going to be able to solve this problem in the next 2 weeks.
Chair, and also, I mean, by all means, make the motion, have the second, but before you vote, I recommend that you allow any speakers the opportunity to speak. I know you have at least one.
I will.
Thank you, sir.
And that's got to be Mr. Mendoza. Welcome. Please spell your last name for the tape record and give your address.
My name is Gil Mendoza, G-I-L-M-E-N-D-O-Z-A. My address is 6185 Magnolia Avenue, number 129, Riverside.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am the civil engineer for the applicant and owner. He can't be here tonight. I just want to express that he is a very optimistic person. He always looks at the bright side. That's his nature. He's an entrepreneur. He's an optimist. He looked at this property and he right away he said, "I want to build a coffee shop," which took me aback. I wouldn't have made that suggestion for where to invest this money and efforts, but he did. He proceeded forward, worked for a full year with Ms. Powers and staff, even to the point where we really had to struggle with the site, massage the site, flip the site plan back and forth. The trash enclosure, it moved around. We recognize it's a challenge. We don't want the trash enclosure right in front of the coffee shop. That's we're the first ones to balk at that, but after talking to staff and the waste management people, there's no other place to put it. I'm not a planner nor a architect, but as an engineer, I would say I'd love to put that trash enclosure inside the first floor where the garage is. I'd gladly take the garage, put the parking spot for the manager in the parking lot, and put the trash enclosure, or put a dumpster in a trash enclosure fully enclosed and make it look like a garage. But I'm just an engineer. But we'll work with staff willingly to come up with something that will satisfy everybody. We'll work with staff.
Thank you. Commissioner Machen.
Is your concern mostly about the trash?
Well, the trash receptacle, as is proposed, is out adjacent to and fronting on E Street.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like he has a pretty good idea there to put the trash inside.
Our waste management services won't.
They won't allow it?
No.
Can they grant a variance for that?
No. Unfortunately,
it's
not a development code requirement, which is what we would ask a variance for. It's how they are actually able to service the area, and they simply cannot do that.
Mm.
Too bad. Commissioner or Mr. Mendoza.
If it's a question of manpower, the applicant would gladly guarantee that if trash pickup is on a certain time and date, we'll have it out there as if it were an exterior trash enclosure. So, you know, we're willing to explore everything.
We can look into that. Sometimes if the customer rolls the bin out themselves, they'll look at that. But I think that was something that was already looked at some point. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Any questions for Mr. Mendoza or comments?
None for me, sir.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion or an alternate motion. The first motion would be to accept it, and the other would be to continue. You're going to make the motion? I don't make motions.
Oh, I'd make a motion to continue this to a future date.
We have a second and a second. Mr. Jones and Mr. Edmund. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. You'll have to come back. Thank you. Non-public hearing items is item number 10, the selection of chair and vice chair for a two-year term, June 17 to 2019. June. Recommend a motion to stack recommends that the Planning Commission select a chair and vice chair for a two-year term commencing June 2017.
Are we...
Discussion.
We just nominate someone, or
that's,
is that basically it?
I guess we have to recommend that we do that.
I recommend that we
make the motion that we open it to nominations.
Okay.
I have a motion to open to nominations. Do I have a second? Okay. I'm not a candidate. I am exiting the city.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, Larry, but... I'm not a candidate either because I'm going to be out for a little while.
And we can't nominate anyone that's not here, correct?
I make a nomination to James Hubble.
I second that.
Do you have a second? Oh, no, we don't need a second.
Vote.
We have one nomination.
I'm going to go Andy. I nominate Andy.
Okay. We have Commissioner Machen and Edby nominated for chair position. That means one of you gets to be vice chair.
You want to take the chair?
All in favor?
Aye.
All voting for Andrew Machen as chair.
Aye. I'll take the
chair. And James Edby as vice chair.
Aye.
Done. And I may say, Andy,
you,
good luck.
Everyone.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Oh, if we could, Chair, just for the record, get a motion in a second to make Commissioner Machen the chair and Commissioner Abley vice chair.
Correct.
Can we get a motion in a second? Oh. Because it was unclear as to who did what.
I would like to make a motion to make Commissioner Machen chairman and Commissioner Ebel, vice chairman. Did I say that?
Yes, and then we just need a second.
I second.
Thank you.
Okay. It's clarified now?
Yes.
In the past, we did it. We just opened it up to nominations, and we didn't go through.
I think this just makes a cleaner record.
It's been so many years that I've been sitting in this chair. I forgot how you do it. Public comments for items not on the agenda. I have a speaker slip. Hank Mitchell. Please spell your last name for the taped record and give your address.
Hank Mitchell, MITCHELL, 3766 Belmont, Vermont. Is first of all, congratulations to new officers. We're going to miss Larry dearly, and I hope the new board, the new commission, goes forward with the city that's moving forward also. What I'm here for tonight is just to, San Bernardino has a shortage of housing. There's going to be a rush on building new housing, especially up in the Vermont area. Way back in 2004, our council ward councilman went to the people and said, what would you like? Unanimously, it was asked if we could get hiking trails up there.
In that process, could you lift the mic up a little bit?
Okay. In that process, up through 2009, the Master Trail System was created through a committee, which I was a co-chair, and it went through Ways and Means, it went through legislative, it went through council, back and forth, engineering, city attorney reviewed it. We got a CIP number on it, and as a co-chair, we thought we had succeeded right to the point it was all set to go. And we, along with the council person, made a promise to the residents of Verdemont and to the city of San Bernardino that there would be a hiking trail in Verdemont. We were looking for connecting to the Electric Avenue Trail, which is a rails-to-trails possibility for a grant, and to the Little Mountain Trail that Mayor Morris was all excited that we actually found a route, actually Larry found the route, to connect those trails to that, and eventually maybe to DeVore and Rosina Ranch. But the Chestnut Trail, the Verdemont Trail, was the impetus to get this all started. So a promise was made to the residents, and I'm asking that you will help me keep that promise as these developments come up. The trail won't cost the city anything to build, and it doesn't cost the city anything really to maintain because it's built by the developers and it's maintained by the LMDs. So it's built into the homes that are built. There are some gaps in there that we can probably work on some grants to get the gaps filled in. But it's also a very historic trail. It covers the history and the wildlife. It has some wildlands area that it I don't want to say trespasses through, but it passes through some of the wildlands up there. So it's something that we promised our residents that we would give them. Right now, we're trying to work it through into Parks and Rec because I did let the trail system down, not knowing that there was one more step of getting a resolution to tie it into the Parks and Rec. But I think Parks and Rec would accept it if the planning and everybody works with us to get that locked in, because this whole 15 pounds of paperwork and this is, there's 200 hours of just the co-chairs putting this together, not including the seniors, the staff, the city hall, city attorney, that led the committees, the legislative council, Ways and Means, planning department. Man, we had all sorts of support from everybody. And so I'm just hoping that and asking that you'll help. I'll be down here to help remind you so that it stays alive. But we've got the Chestnut Trail started, and it looks good. And the trail system can also be part of our fire suppression system. Chief Conrad made a comment early on in the trail system that could we not get fire hydrants or water systems into the trails that outline the residents up there as a, what do you call it, the first responders to the fire. We get hit by fires in Verdemont, and you all know about the fires in San Bernardino, but if we have our LMDs in those areas up there, would be the hillside management overlay, there'll be some buffer zones, and if we can get the trail system that's wide enough to get a fire truck up there and tie into the hydrants, we've got a battle line that we can stand. So it serves a lot of purposes. The Chestnut Trail is actually built on an old river creek bed, and it is a drainage. This rerouted drainage away from the homes, as well as being a great trail, and underneath it sits a 7-foot tube that drains one of the biggest canyons above us. So it's a very unique system, and just help us keep it alive, because we made a promise to the citizens up there. They're looking forward to it. And they use the one we have now already. So that's all. I'm just asking for help.
Any questions for Commissioner Earp?
I'd just like to say thank you. I'm a tremendous fan of our wild edges of the town, the little margins around them. And I appreciate your work and your effort. I encourage, you know, the staff to keep this in mind throughout.
It's a beautiful area up there. I have to admit that a lot of my buddies, we've hiked and climbed and crawled and broken some kneecaps and got scratched hiking in those hills up there, and there's, gosh, there's just so much history in Vertimont. That was the first white settlers came through Vertimont, believe it or not. Not many people know that.
Yeah, Cable Creek is my home away from home with my dogs. And Little Mountain, my mountain bike up there. So
there you go. He'll tell you all about it. Commissioner Machen?
What exactly is required of the Planning Commission to support this project?
I'll give a little bit of background. I didn't realize that that Hank was involved in that previous effort, but we being myself, Oliver Mojica, and Jim Tickmeyer, the Parks and Rec Director, have met on this twice. As Hank said, there was a lot of work that was done. It did go to the LRC. It went to the City Council for discussion as well. Unfortunately, as near as in the three of us work here when this all of this work was done, and yeah, just from what we've seen, there was a tremendous amount of community input. But it was never actually adopted by the council. So we are staff's trying to recreate the record on what did happen, how far we got, and what needs to be finished. Whatever those steps are, the action would be, it was never adopted or recommended for adoption by the Parks and Recreation Commission. Typically, the Parks and Recreation Commission would take the first action. The Planning Commission would take the second action because it would need to be incorporated into the general plan, so there would be a general plan amendment. And then ultimately, the council would take the final action. So we're trying to find out where the progress stopped. And then because we've got Jim Tickmeyer's got all new Parks and Rec commissioners, so they would need to be brought up to speed. I don't know how many. I know at least three of the commissioners weren't on the commission when this work was going on, and there may be others. I know that the three on my right side of the dais are all new to the commission, so they certainly weren't on the commission. But we are aware of it. We do have copies of a lot of the work that was done, and we're trying to reconstruct the record. And then we would like to have something to the Parks and Rec Commission before the end of the year is our hope, and then to the Planning Commission. And then those two recommendations would ultimately go to the council.
Mr. Mitchell.
Everybody's always pointing at the city. This is my fault. The reason because as a co-chair, we carried it to a point we thought we're done. We reported to the council person. Our committee was dissolved, and we thought we'd got it all locked in. It was my fault for not knowing we had to go these extra steps. I was not streetwise, citywise. So this is all on me. I'm just asking, help me to keep the stream going. And thank you, Mr. Persico and
certain
Oliver and Council or Commission. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Has there been a master plan developed for this trail?
We have the master plan right here, and Mr. Heasley made a digital copy. I think that's mm-hmm. in the hands of the planner as well.
I wonder if we could get copies of that.
Could I? Do you have the ability to, before you leave, to run off another digit of it?
Yes? I'm pretty sure Planning has a copy of that.
We have a copy electronically, and we can certainly, I can have Melina email that to all of the commissioners. There was a tremendous amount of work that went into this. We, again, are trying to reconstruct the record because, yeah, if trails are to be built in the city of San Bernardino, the foothills, the Vertimont neighborhood is the absolute place to do that. But there's clearly a lot of catching up that we on staff need to do, and then once we have more information, we're definitely intent on bringing it to the Planning Commission or the Parks and Recreation Commission, Planning, and then Council. So we don't unfortunately have an exact time frame for that, but we're definitely aware of it, and at least from a personal standpoint, absolutely this is something that I would support. And it does definitely make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So the challenge to the commission, I'm making this challenge to the commission because I won't be here. I'm resigning. I can too. You don't believe me? Watch me.
Not that we like you doing it.
The challenge is don't let a development come through without consideration, particularly in the Vertimont area, because the effort that was put in by that group, I don't think there's much danger of losing the ones on Little Mountain on Electric Avenue because they're not usable for much else. Mm-hmm. That these trails are skipped over. Take that in consideration when something comes up. In case, I doubt if they'll do it because they'll stay on top of it now. Now that Mark and staff are aware of it, they'll stay on top of it. They won't allow one to slip in that puts a house pad for our developer where the trail was proposed to be. I'll be brutally honest. There are developers and developer representatives that will do anything they can to avoid building a trail because it's not sold to them as an enhancement of their property, and that's what it is. It's an enhancement to their property values. But if they can stick one more house, they figure that's a better deal. So be aware of that as commissioners.
Yeah. There's also
I'd like a copy of that sent to me if we could.
I would
learn a little bit more about that because it sure sounds like you put a lot of effort into it, Mr. Mitchell, and we don't want to let that slip at all. Yeah.
It was
a lot of hard work. And
we even hauled the newspaper representative and his cameraman in a four-wheel drive across where the trail's going, and you should see the cameraman in the back. But there are a couple of developers that also support this or have in the past, and they're out there. But Mr. Heasley stated a fact. But, hey,
I was just going to say, I get a little nervous each time we get one of these things on the consent agenda to extend something that's been extended for 8 years, and some of them are developments up in the Vertimont area. I just wonder if any of those are ones that would conflict with the trail. It's something we'd like to look at going forward.
When another developer comes through.
Right. There are other developments. What brought it to the attention is on a DRC revolve developer. I noticed that one of the house pads was going to be where the trail was supposed to be. I think Mr. Mitchell brought that to my attention because he stayed on top of things in the Vertimont area. And I brought it in, and staff was not aware of the trails. So at that point, we started making staff aware of that. And since then, they've grabbed the ball and trying to run with it, with their legs hobbled a lot by past practices in the city. But thank you, Mr. Mitchell, for bringing it back
thank
and bringing
you
it to this body. This body is, they're all citizens here, and they're concerned over how the city functions as a whole.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Planning Commission reports and announcements. I'm retiring.
For the second time?
Pardon me?
Retiring for the second time?
I'm retiring from the Planning Commission. I retired from the state of California 10 years ago. But this has been a challenge. I've worked with some excellent people, both sides of the table and around this dais. And I got to say that the group that's sitting here now, including the ones that are temporarily absent, is a superior group. They pay more attention. We've had commissioners in the past that were space occupiers, is what I call them. They didn't interact. They didn't ask questions. And I noticed that we have people that are active now. And that's a boon to the decision-making process.
Yeah.
Because the more input we get into a decision, and this is for you, Andy, because you're going to carry the burden from now on. I hope you like spending a lot more time than you do. Yes, it's one I don't care. No, I care, and if anything comes back, a question of history, I'll have the same email, and I'm not abandoning the city 100%. I'll help with any transition period. That if something comes up that you're not sure of and you want to know what happened in the last 13 years, I got a pretty good memory.
That's good to know, because our institutional memory on the staff side is lacking.
3 years. That's how long you've been here, right?
Yeah.
You know, for the last 3 years.
It's now 37 months.
37 months. You're cranking right on. Any other announcements?
I just want to say, Larry, that this is my second term on this panel here, this commission. And since the first time, before you were chair, just the way you handled yourself and the questions you asked, I learned a lot from you. Then you became the chair, and I came back, and I can't tell you how much I appreciated you running things and asking the questions that you asked. It's a better city, and we function as a better group because of you. And, thank you for your service. We'll try and, hold the flag up and keep going.
Thank you. Thank you, James. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a team effort. I'm just a cog in the wheel. And without the thought process of everybody else on the commission, I'd have fallen on my face, believe me. I stumble over my words all the time anyhow. So, at this point, director's report.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair and Commissioners. I'll keep it brief. Melina has a couple of items that she is handing out. The first is the major projects list, which has been emailed to you, but also like to provide hard copies. The second, I think everybody knows that City Hall is being vacated by the end of this week. The water department will be gone by the end of the month, but all of the other departments will be gone by the end of the week, which means that the Planning Commission has a new time, date, and location for meetings. As the Commission voted last time, the meetings will be on the second Tuesday, so that will be starting for your next meeting, June 13th at 6 p.m., and that will be in the EDA boardroom, which is the 201 building, a three-story building where the City Council has previously had study sessions. That will actually be where the City Council will have their meetings, and that's also where the Planning Commission will be meeting. The next item is the DERC schedule. So for those commissioners who do attend DERC, DERC will be where the Community Development Department will be, and we are going to be at 600 North Arrowhead, the old Sevilla building at the northwest corner of Arrowhead and 6th. So we're actually moving Saturday, and we'll be open for business in our new location Monday morning.
Are we invited to the DERC?
Yes, they are public meetings, and the commissioners, as well as anybody to the public, can attend.
I see.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So the one caveat to that would be if it's an item which is coming to the Planning Commission, and I know that Stephen may have some comments. The Planning Commissioner should refrain from making comments at those meetings, because you will be prejudicing yourself if an item comes to the Planning Commission.
Yes.
And then there's also the Brown Act issues. If a majority of the commissioners were to show up at the meeting, it is a noticed meeting, so from that standpoint it's not a problem, but it's just bad practice to have a majority of the commissioners there. In the short time that I've been here, that hasn't been a problem, but that's just something to be aware of if you do choose to attend. Certainly, if you have questions on projects, myself, Oliver, the case planner, are always willing and able to answer questions, so I don't want to discourage you from attending. It's just something to be aware of. But yes, Commissioner Gallagher, they are public meetings, and anybody is able to attend. I don't know if Stephen wants to add anything.
I'll just jump in and make it as succinct as I can. If you are planning on attending a DERC meeting, which you are welcome to do, it is a public meeting, my recommendation would be that you attend as an observer only. Not only are several items that come through DERC forwarded to the Planning Commission for approval, but if an item is denied by the DERC. You are the appellate body who will likely hear the appeal of that action. So making comments on the record is discouraged.
Mark, you said your offices will be in the Arrowhead building?
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah, we'll be on the third floor.
I have one other question. I got the email about we're supposed to get ID badges. I missed Monday and Tuesday going there. Is there a procedure or a place we can go from here before our next meeting to take care of that?
Yes, so you would be going to Vanner Tower. That's where Human Resources is the new location, which you should have on your move handout. So their normal operating hours, 7 to 6, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I won't need one.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And then the last item, if there are no other questions about the move or DERC, tomorrow is Third Thursday. So if you have time, Commissioner Heasley, if you would like to come, it's be your last opportunity, and I'd be happy to buy you lunch.
Wow. That's impressive. Not the city buying me lunch.
No.
But Mark buying me lunch.
It's me.
Because the city didn't have the money to buy me lunch.
Are you leaving town right away or moving right away? Or are you going to be around?
I'll officially be resigned on the 31st of this month. And sometime between then and June 20th, we will be departing.
Okay. Where are you going? If you don't mind.
Up by Tehachapi. Oh. In a wide spot in the road. Stallion Springs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's, that's nice.
It's something we wanted to downsize our community. There's too many people in the city for me to know enough of them. and I think that with my experience here, working with some tremendous staff people, the attorney's office, I have gained a big insight into this because I walked in here with an engineering and maintenance background for Caltrans, and it's a different world in community development. And Andy, I've got some words of wisdom to you that I'll relay privately. And so, you know, and he may have just run away and never come back.
Don't do that.
No, it's not that bad. It can be a lot of work, and I was raised that if you take on an assignment, you do the best you can all the time. And that's what I've endeavored to do. So I challenge you, the rest of you guys, continue up the good work, keep the questions coming, and vote your conscience and your constituents, because you're appointed by council people or the mayor, and that means you have constituents, which are the taxpayers of the city of San Bernardino. Yes, sir. City and they shut down City Hall. And a joking note, I resigned from the Planning Commission and you shut down City Hall?
This was all for you, Chair.
That's what happens.
That's right. For you. We were just waiting till you were exiting stage left, and then we figured we should probably leave the building simultaneously. So
it's been fun, and I really appreciate working with all the staff. And again, I'll be available if the need arises, and feel free.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to Tuesday, June 13th, 6 p.m. in the boardroom, third floor, 201 North East Street, San Bernardino, California. I have a motion and a second. Anybody crazy enough to want to stay longer? Other than you, Randy, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Good luck. I appreciate that.
Enjoy it.
Really, really good. Congratulations.
Congratulations
to you.
All right. Oliver's picking up the...
Be in touch. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am. I'd like to go to a lunch with
Here. Yeah. It was all the way to Ohio now.